On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Jack Beatty, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Last Friday, the Republican-controlled Senate Intelligence Committee released its latest report on pre-Iraq War intelligence. The committee officially debunked the link between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda, a link that officials have been hinting at for years. 3 days after the report was released, on Monday night, the five-year anniversary of September 11th, President Bush spoke from the Oval Office.
I'm often asked why we're in Iraq when Saddam Hussein was not responsible for the 9/11 attacks. The answer is that the regime of Saddam Hussein was a clear threat. My administration, the Congress, and the United Nations saw the threat. And after 9/11, Saddam's regime posed a risk that the world could not afford to take.
But in 2002, on the one-year anniversary of September 11th, President Bush had this to say about Saddam Hussein's regime.
And if an emboldened regime were to supply these weapons to terrorist allies, then the attacks of September the 11th would be a prelude to far greater horrors.
Joining me now from Washington, D.C., with the latest on the Senate Intelligence Committee report is Mary Louise Kelly, NPR's intelligence correspondent. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be here, Jack. Hi.
Can you give us the backstory of this report? This is now the second report. How did the first one come about? What did it say? And how did all this start?
Right. What we have just seen, as you say, is part of phase two, part of the Senate Intelligence Committee's second look at Iraq and pre-war intelligence. And in a nutshell, what happened is this. The Intelligence Committee and the Senate decided several years back that they wanted to investigate. They were going to go ahead and look at how the intelligence had come together and how it was used and what may have gone wrong to have it end up, in the words of Intelligence Chief John Negroponte, a fiasco. So what they've done is they ended up dividing the report into two parts. The first part came out a couple of years ago, summer of 2004. That was several hundred pages, and that looked specifically at the intelligence agencies, the CIA, the NSA, military intelligence, and it laid out the many mistakes that were made along the road in terms of actually collecting the intelligence and analyzing the intelligence, what went wrong. The second part, which, if anything, is proving even more controversial, is the flip side of that coin. It's the second half of the question of, okay, what happened to the intelligence once it reached policymakers? And the question, as many Democrats are framing it, is, was the intelligence cherry-picked? Was it hyped in some way by policymakers, by the Bush administration, in order to justify a case for war? That's what the second part of the report is. And what we have just gotten is two of the five chapters of that report, because it's so controversial, they're still working on these other parts. We'll see if we ever get the full report. But what we've got just now is these two parts. And as you said in your introduction, they're looking, the kind of headline of this report is that it concludes that the links that were touted by Bush administration officials before the war, in the run-up to the war, between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda, specifically to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, this report finds just weren't there.
And it finds it from citing voluminously DIA and largely CIA reports.
Right. That's correct. And those reports found that contrary to some of what was suggested by administration officials, you may recall then-Secretary of State Colin Powell's speech before the United Nations, in which he spent a lot of time laying out the links, as he said he believed them to be at that point, between Saddam Hussein and Zarqawi. This report, citing intelligence reports, DIA, CIA, as you say, says, if anything, Saddam Hussein was trying to rebuff Zarqawi, tried to capture him, was trying to distance himself from Zarqawi, far from aligning himself with Mr. Zarqawi.
And yet, just in recent weeks, we've heard that link made, I think, once by the president, once by the vice president.
Well, we have the president continuing to say in almost every speech, Iraq is the central front in the war on terror. Clearly, he wants this struggle in Iraq to be linked to the broader war on terror. You played the bit of his speech that many people are referring to now, where he does implicitly acknowledge Saddam Hussein was not responsible for the 9/11 mm-hmm. attacks. We heard that more explicitly from Vice President Dick Cheney in public comments in the last week or so, saying, we understand Saddam Hussein was not responsible for 9/11. That said, you continue to hear these both terrorism and the war in Iraq being linked together quite explicitly by administration officials to this day.
Yes, and to the person of the late Zarqawi, which the report says, the Senate Intelligence Committee report says, Saddam had no connection with him. In fact, he seemed to want to arrest him.
And there are a couple of relationships that the report is looking at. One is, what was the relationship between Saddam and Zarqawi? And the report finds it just wasn't there. The Senate Intelligence Committee report says, again, that if anything, Saddam wanted to distance himself, saw himself as an enemy of Zarqawi. The other relationship that has been much discussed is the relationship between Zarqawi and al-Qaeda. That mm-hmm. is the core al-Qaeda that we think of as being led by Osama bin Laden and by Ayman al-Zawahiri. That relationship has been much looked at in terms of, if you say Saddam was linked to al-Qaeda, you know, where does Zarqawi fit into that picture?
Right. Let's hear a piece of tape here. Last Friday, after the release of the Senate Intelligence Committee report, Democratic Senator Carl Levin of Michigan took to the Senate floor to condemn administration statements connecting Iraq to 9/11.
Today's report is a devastating indictment of the Bush administration's unrelenting, misleading, and deceptive attempts to convince the American people that Saddam Hussein was linked with al-Qaeda, the perpetrators of the 9/11 attack. The president said Wednesday, just this week, that, quote, one of the hardest parts of my job is to connect Iraq to the war on terror, close quote. Well, that shouldn't surprise anybody. The president's decision to ignore intelligence community assessments prior to the Iraq war and to make repeated public statements that gave the misleading impression that Saddam Hussein's regime was connected to the terrorists who attacked us on 9/11 cost him any credibility that he may have had on this issue.
Senator Carl Levin on the Senate floor on Friday. Mary Louise Kelly, what are people in the intelligence community, what do your sources say about the gap that this report documents between what they said, what their institutions were saying, and what administration officials were saying contemporaneously, going right back to 2001?
Well, you know, the CIA and other intelligence agencies have certainly been contrite, I think is a fair word. I mean, they have accepted they made many mistakes. They have come out and said, look, we got it wrong. We blew it on Iraq. And we're going through a process of trying to figure out exactly how that happened and what we can change in order to not repeat that mistake. It's a particularly relevant exercise just now because as we look ahead to what may happen on Iran, there are a lot of questions about making sure that this the mistakes that were made both in the actual intelligence and then perhaps in the way that intelligence was used are not repeated. So, I think we have heard, for example, on the relationship or lack thereof between Saddam and Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the CIA pretty consistently all along, as I understand it, was shooting down those links and was downplaying
so they got
the existence
that right.
of links. They got that right.
And they got the no 9/11 connection right.
And that is why, in a way, this report has become politically charged so much. The Senate report mm-hmm. is that it certainly will provide fresh ammunition for Democrats and other critics of the president to say, look, you know, this in this particular case, looking at the links or lack thereof between al-Qaeda and between Saddam's mm-hmm. regime, they weren't there, and mm-hmm. you knew it all along. And mm-hmm. that's what people like Senator Carl Levin are saying on the Senate floor.
Yet two Republicans signed this report, making it a majority report.
That's how this report managed to come out, as we saw two Republican senators, Olympia Snowe of Maine and Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, who signed on to the conclusions that the Democrats wanted to put out there. What happened was this report is divided. There are the actual factual findings, and then there are the conclusions, the analysis, what do the findings mm-hmm. mean. And senators had the opportunity to vote on which set of conclusions they thought best described those factual findings. Two Republican senators, as you say, crossed party lines and voted along with Democrats, and this section of this report came to be.
And is there yet one more report coming, Mary Louise Kelly?
Well, again, what we got out just recently from the Intelligence Committee is the first two of five plan chapters. And really, the most explosive, the most controversial bit is yet to come. That will look at specifically the public statements that we were hearing from administration mm-hmm. officials and comparing that to the actual intelligence that they had at their disposal. So really trying to get at this question of, was the intelligence hyped? Was the intelligence cherry-picked to make a case for war? The other outstanding reports, sections of the report also include, for example, a look at Pentagon intelligence activities mm-hmm. and specifically the policy shop under Undersecretary of State, exactly, mm-hmm. Douglas Feith, the Office of Special Plans, which we've heard a lot about. That part of the report, I'm told, is completely suspended. It's on hold while the Pentagon conducts its own investigation. We certainly will not see these last three chapters before the midterm elections, and it's kind of up in the air, I think, whether we will ever see them.
Mary Louise, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure, Jack.
We're talking about a scalding report released by the Senate Intelligence Committee. Let's listen. Here in the 2003 State of the Union speech, President Bush expresses concern about Saddam Hussein and his link to terrorists.
And this Congress and the American people must recognize another threat. Evidence from intelligence sources, secret communications, and statements by people now in custody reveal that Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda. Secretly and without fingerprints, he could provide one of his hidden weapons to terrorists or help them develop their own.
Joining me now from Washington, D.C. is James Bamford. He is an investigative journalist who has followed national intelligence for years. He is the author of the best-selling The Puzzle Palace, a report on NSA, America's most secret agency. His latest book is A Pretext for War, 9/11, Iraq, and the Abuse of America's Intelligence Agencies. Also joining me from Washington, D.C. is Patrick Claussen. He is Deputy Director for Research of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Formerly, he was a senior research professor at the Institute for National Strategic Studies of the National Defense University. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thanks, Jack.
Glad to be with you.
James Bamford, let's start with you. What is your overall bottom-line impression, view of this report? Report is in two parts. One is about the connections between 9/11 and or Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and two is about the intelligence given by the Iraqi National Congress, which is our shorthand, we say, Chalabi's organization, to the Pentagon. What's your bottom line on this?
Well, it confirms what I wrote in my book, Pretext for War, which came out 2 years ago, and it confirms what most journalists have been writing about for the last 2 years, which is the fact that the Bush administration pushed the public by fear-mongering and false allegations and hype into this war. It's a devastating indictment on the administration to get the U.S. into a war that that's almost impossible to get out of now.
Well, you know, the president in that clip we just spoke of said they had sources. They had other sources. Were these sources other than what we have? That is, the sources that in this report are the CIA and the DIA, and they do not make a connection between Saddam and terrorists, those terrorists, Al-Qaeda. But are there other sources? For example, the Douglas Feith committee or group at the Pentagon? Were they developing other sources? And is there other information out there that would lift this charge of misleading from the administration?
Well, the way it worked, the CIA itself, I think the working level at the CIA largely got it right. The people that I were talking to as I was doing my book and people I've been talking to over the years, it was the seventh floor, the top level, the George Tenet area that got it completely wrong. The way it worked was that the the CIA was coming out with fairly accurate information on Iraq. It didn't have an awful lot, but what it did have, it was rather correct. So that angered a lot of people within the Bush administration because they weren't coming out with this horrendous fear-mongering that they wanted. So what they did was they created this little unit under Doug Fife in the Pentagon, the Policy Counterintelligence or Policy Counterterrorism group led by David Wurmser, who was an arch neoconservative. And he took information from a lot of very uncredible sources, uncredible news reports and so forth. He took information about the uranium going from Niger to Iraq, all this information that the CIA rejected, and they put it into the pipeline. They sent it to the White House, and the White House used it on television programs and so forth. Tenet had a choice. He could either go along with his own people, which was rejecting most of this, or he could join the team. And he's always been a team player. He likes getting pat on the back every morning by George Bush. So he went over there and told him it was a slam dunk. That's pretty much how we got into this, and that's largely what these reports say.
Patrick Claussen, you know, the CIA got the weapons of mass destruction wrong. Did they also get this 9/11 Saddam connection, 9/11 or Saddam al-Qaeda connection wrong?
Well, it would be useful if there were a certain degree of humility displayed by all of us in our evaluation of what we know and what we don't know. We've shown that we don't understand very much about Iraq, and the Senate Intelligence Committee report's confidence that it's got the real story, I find troubling, especially when we find that four members of the Senate Intelligence Committee bitterly denounce this report. This report, I'm afraid, will just continue the partisan bickering and dispute, and the authors of this report did not aim for a broad consensus and showed such self-confidence that they got it right. And they didn't deal with some of the most difficult issues. For instance, their discussion about Saddam's link with terrorism brushes over what has been the central allegation made by those who think that there was such a connection, namely Saddam's quite close links with a group called the Ansar al-Islam, which was in the northern Iraq areas controlled by the Kurds. And there's quite a bit of evidence about some kind of connections here, and it's quite unclear exactly what it was that was going on. The report ignores what has been the main claim of those who take the alternative viewpoint. That's unfortunate. Serious analysts ought to say that there are real limitations to what we know. We don't know a whole lot about what Saddam was up to, and say that things were shadowy and unclear, and that it was unfortunate that that unclarity and shadowy character wasn't portrayed in the earlier pre-war intelligence analysis. But this report's Strong's confidence that it got it right, it's got the story right, is also likely not to hold up very well in light of what we know.
Of course, we should stipulate, and we have, that two Republicans signed on to these conclusions, making it a majority.
Four did not. Yeah. Denounced the conclusion.
That's right. But it was that far a bipartisan report, was it not?
My dear sir, when four people, including the chairman of the committee, bitterly attack a report, it's hard to call it bipartisan. And indeed, when we find this report being bitterly criticized by the chairman of the committee, to say that it's a bipartisan report is stretching the truth. One has to recognize that four members of this committee, including its chairman, are violently opposed to this report. And to call it bipartisan is a stretch, to put it mildly.
James Bamford, what about this Ansar connection?
Well, look, the report made it clear that any connection between Abu Zakari and Saddam Hussein was not there. They hated each other. Saddam, as the report said, was after Zarqawi. He wanted to kill Zarqawi. There was no linkage between these two people. Read the report. It comes from sources.
But what about this group that Patrick Claussen was talking about, this Ansar al-Islam, is that it?
Ansar al-Islam, yes.
Yes, in northern Iraq.
They were against Saddam.
I see.
My colleagues who interviewed Ansar members in jail reported that they got their money from Saddam and that they got their orders from officers of the Iraqi military. So the issue of whether or not Saddam was supporting them or not is confused. We're not clear. We don't know. We have alternative information. This has been the heart of the dispute, and the report does not address this very fully. It's the heart of the chairman of the committee's objections to this report, and the report brushes over the matter and does not discuss it in any considerable detail.
Some of the Republicans, some of the hardcore conservatives want everybody to do is to get very confused. This is not a confusing issue. This is very clear. The press has been writing about it. I wrote about it.
It's clear.
Senate came out with this report. It's very clear. It's not confusing at all.
Why don't they discuss the matter then? Why do they brush over the critics' objections? Why don't they object? Why don't they analyze the critics' objections and look at the critics' objections? Instead, they ignore them. That's not a suggestion that they're doing a complete and thorough job.
I think you're in the minority.
Patrick Claussen.
And indeed, this issue continues to be a highly disputed issue. There used to be a majority opinion which was wrong. Now it's a minority opinion.
We don't know
which is correct.
And this is a guerrilla group, just to be clear about this, with ties to al-Qaeda. Is that it?
We don't know.
You don't know about that.
Issue.
Okay.
We don't know about
two things. We don't know about whether this group was tied in with al-Qaeda, one. And two, we don't know really whether Saddam was tied in with them.
Well, but that has been the heart of the dispute.
Right, but we don't know, do we?
If you ignore the heart of the dispute and you don't address the critics' objections, you're not going to persuade the critics. And when they don't even address the critics' objections, how can they say that they're doing a complete job? These people are doing exactly what they accuse the Bush administration of doing, which is cherry-picking the intelligence to look at the issues they want to look at and not look at the issues their critics are raising.
Let's take some calls. Paul is calling from Urbana, Illinois. Hello, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. The colleagues of Claussen who interviewed him in jail, I'm sure you get reliable information. You get what you want to be told. That's just like al-Libi, who was interviewed by the in Egypt, you know, who gave them the al-Qaeda connection there, too, and that was under duress. But what I really wanted to talk about at the beginning was we can credit this report coming out to finally some hardball tactics from the Democrats. The Senate Democrats last year closed the Senate and said, we are going to have a report mm-hmm. that looks at this and actually looks at the uncooked material. The idea that the earlier report said there was no political pressure. Obviously, there was political pressure. Cheney went down there 8 times or something like that.
To the CIA.
And the idea that the CIA is doing mea culpas. I mean, the people that have left, like Drumheller and the guy, the other guy, Picard or whatever his name is, these guys said that they couldn't tell what didn't fit with what the war effort was. You know, it's absurd, and we're still arguing about this.
Paul, thank you for your call. James Bamfield, would you respond to what our caller from Urbana was talking about, this is finally the Democrats playing hardball on this issue?
Well, I think it's both the Democrats playing hardball and several Republicans who have seen the light and see that they can't bottle this report up any longer. You know, this report was supposed to come out a long time ago, before the previous election. And the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Pat Roberts, said, we're going to hold off until after the election. And then after the election, he said, the election's over. There's no need for it. And it was only by pressure from Democrats. At one time, they actually stopped the Senate for a day or so to get this report out. So this is like pulling teeth to get this report out. And there's still 3 more sections to come out. One section is being held up because the Department of Defense is conducting a criminal investigation into the Office of Special Policy, the organization that created this. So what you have is an extremely serious situation of the possibility that the U.S. was sent into this war with illegal means.
Patrick Clausen, what do you make of this pattern of things? I mean, the report cites a CIA 2000 report saying our assessment of al-Qaeda's ties to Iraq rests on a body of fragmented, conflicting reporting from sources of varying reliability. Quote, the ties between Saddam and bin Laden appeal much like those between rival intelligence services. No cooperation between Iraq and al-Qaeda has been established. And then the statement of the president that, quote, this was in 2002, you can't distinguish between Iraq and al-Qaeda. Is the president, how do you judge the president's statement as against what the intelligence was saying?
I think the president's doing it, did the exact same thing the Senate Intelligence Committee report does, which is to say to take ambiguous and conflicting evidence and take that part of it which he likes best and give it an interpretation which he likes best.
So it's all spin.
We ought to be doing is having a humility here about what we know and say that we don't have very clear indications about how al-Qaeda works. We've been surprised repeatedly about discovering things about al-Qaeda we didn't previously know. Al-Qaeda is not an organization which cooperates by providing us with information about who its sponsors are. We don't know a lot about the group, and we ought to be honest in saying that, rather than suggesting that we know clearly what happened in any situation. And the confidence that some people display that they have the real truth is very unfortunate, and it undermines the history of this country of a bipartisan consensus on intelligence issues.
But of course, it's when the president says it, it's more than unfortunate, isn't it?
Well, it's unfortunate when the Senate says it. It's unfortunate when the politicians are politicizing the matter rather than being more honest about the limitations of what we know. And the confidence that's being displayed by one side and then by the other is undermining our best traditions of bipartisanship. And I think it's unfortunate that we have another highly politicized report which is only going to inflame attitudes on both sides of the political spectrum that they have the true story.
William is calling from College Park, Maryland. William?
I have a simple question. It's why isn't more media direction and attention being focused on the obvious propaganda campaign that the Bush has launched since day one, since coming into office, about going into Iraq by hook or crook? I mean, you have movies that just came out on ABC trying to rewrite history and blame it on the Clinton administration for 9/11, where, up until the last day Clinton was in office, serious warnings were being issued to the Bush administration, all of which were contemptuously ignored or downplayed.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the recent report released by the Senate Intelligence Committee. Here on September 25, 2002, then National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice told PBS's NewsHour with Jim Lehrer about evidence of ties between Iraq and al-Qaeda coming from members captured in the war on terror.
In particular, some high-ranking detainees have said that Iraq provided some training to al-Qaeda in chemical weapons development. So yes, there are contacts between Iraq and al-Qaeda, and there are some al-Qaeda personnel who found refuge in Baghdad.
Joining me from Washington, D.C. is James Bamford. He's an investigative reporter who for years has followed national security and intelligence. His most recent book is A Pretext for War, 9/11, Iraq, and the Abuse of America's Intelligence Agencies. Also joining me from Washington, D.C. is Patrick Clausen. He is Deputy Director for Research of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. I'd like to bring another voice into the conversation. Frank Newport joins me from Princeton, New Jersey. He is Editor-in-Chief of the Gallup Poll and author of Polling Matters. Frank Newport, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Frank, can you take us back over, we've talked about what officials were saying and what the intelligence was saying. What was the effect of this, of what officials were saying or hinting about connections between Saddam and 9/11 or Saddam and al-Qaeda and public opinion? What was public opinion on the eve of the war, for example, about Saddam and 9/11?
Well, the broader context here is that the American public supported the war in Iraq as it was initiated in March of 2003. We sometimes lose sight of that, but in some of our polling and other polling, we had 60-70% of the American public who said yes, they approved of the idea of going to war. That collapsed within about a year and a few months, and by June of 2004, we had a majority saying it was a mistake. So it didn't take a much shorter time than Vietnam for the public to turn more negative, but initially there was a large level of support for the war. I say that by way of context, because mm-hmm. we in the science of public opinion face a real issue with foreign policy attitudes. It's significantly different, I think, than public opinion on domestic issues, where the American public has experiential knowledge. Americans know things about race relations right. and the economy and right. welfare and Medicare. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to foreign policy, there has to be an element of trust. Most Americans have absolutely no way whatsoever of knowing what's going on in Iraq or what Saddam's connection might have been to al-Qaeda and terrorists, so they do put a significant degree of trust in those who are in a position to tell them what's going on, i.e. the administration and expert. So we did have the American public putting its trust in the administration going to war, and at about that time or thereafter, we did have a majority of Americans, not a huge majority, but we had a majority who would agree that Saddam Hussein was personally involved in the September 11th terrorist attacks, and we had a majority who said that Iraq was part of the war on terrorism. Now, what's happened when we track those attitudes over time is they both come down. We are now in a position earlier this year, no polling's been done since the recent Bush statements and Cheney mm-hmm, statements mm-hmm. you've been talking about, but earlier this year, that had come down less than a majority. 39% of Americans in our last Gallup poll said Saddam was personally involved in 9/11, and about the same percent said there was a connection between Iraq and terrorism, i.e. a majority said there was not. So the attitudes have changed right. significantly, but there still is a not insignificant number of Americans who, at least as of a few months ago, were willing to say there was a connection.
How important was the belief of 100 million or more Americans that there was, that Saddam was
I don't know where you get the 100 million figure.
Oh, I'm extrapolating actually from the 43% cited in a recent USA Today poll, and they translated that into 100
okay.
million people.
Maybe all right, well, we had about 39% who yeah. said there's a connection between Saddam and that's right. out of 200 something. Well, anyhow, 80 million.
Right, say. 80 million. Fine.
Okay.
All right. My question is this: what connection? I mean, how far did the belief that there was a connection between 9/11 and Saddam go to make people agree to the war? In other words, how important was that to the administration's case?
The Saddam connection per se?
Yes.
That's difficult to parse. What we know is, as I just said, that the American public bought into the broad rationale
right,
that
right.
Bush, Cheney, Wolfowitz, et al. Were putting forward about going to war in Iraq. How much of that rationale in the American public's mind was based on Saddam, and how much was simply based on the idea that the American public had actually held, going all the way back to the 91 Persian Gulf War, that Saddam Hussein was a bad guy and should be gotten rid of. That was a persistent attitude for a decade that we measured. How much of it was that, we don't have any way of knowing. But it all was a package. The American public basically put their trust in the administration by March of 2003.
Now, we now know that there is no connection to 9/11. We've known that for a long time. This report makes clear that there was no connection with al-Qaeda, at least that the intelligence services could find. We know that there was no connection, according to this report, with Zarqawi. But yet the American public, 39%, still believes that they believe in the strongest case, the connection to 9/11. Is there anything like this in polling, people believing so strongly in something so contrary to established fact? There may be other facts, but to what consensus facts?
Well, those are good questions, and a couple of points. First of all, let me reiterate that our last asking of the question about the connection between Saddam and the 9/11 terrorist attacks was back in March of this year. So we don't have public opinion
right.
data that may reflect the kind of topics being discussed right here,
right.
The
right.
Senate Intelligence Report.
Right, of course not.
The attitudes may come down further. But it is true that Americans still, a sizable minority, still hold those attitudes. A couple of points based on our analysis of the data. There is a correlation with education. It posts people with, say, graduate degrees, only 12% believe the connection. Or you might want to say, geez, 12% do believe the connection, even with graduate education. But clearly there's a relationship with education, and there is a political dimension to it. Republicans, based on our analysis, are more likely to say there was a connection than Democrats. So I do believe some Americans are still kind of whirling around in their minds mm-hmm. of these broad kind of right. all these interconnections that the Bush administration has been making so strongly. And when pollsters call them up and ask them, mm-hmm. they may not know the specifics, but they kind of, either because of lack of interest in education or because they're strong partisans, kind of say, well, yeah, I think there is a connection.
And I've seen data that a majority of Republicans still believe that the 9/11 Saddam connection.
Well, in our data, which we had from back in March, that is the case. Mm-hmm. A majority of Republicans did say mm-hmm. that he was involved, or about half, I would say, a bare majority. But of Democrats, even, it was about a third. So mm-hmm. There's a difference, although there's some people on both sides. The bigger relationship is between education.
Frank Newport of the Gallup, editor-in-chief of the Gallup poll, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Let's take a call from Bob in Buford, South Carolina. Hi, Bob. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. I just have I had one thing that I was going to ask about, and then having listened to more of the program, I would just suggest this, that given that your program is called On Point, would it not be at this juncture beneficial to air the report and all the people who support it, because, of course, it represents intelligence and some of the best minds looking at it. And then if you want to then have a rebuttal, give them as much time as you like. But what I know to be true, and I don't know the science of polling, but I do know I've lived in this country as an African-American for 52 years, mm-hmm. and never in that time have I seen such a PR campaign in a rush to war. And now we have to sometimes parse whether they said it or they didn't say it. There's documented proof. You just can go back to any number of comments that they actually made. You played some of them today, of where they actually made the connection. So then to, I don't say waste our time, but to give more time to, well, American people believe this. Well, they were fed a strong diet of a fear of this connection between 9/11 and Iraq. And so it's going to take some unraveling. But I would really strongly suggest that you sometimes just present the report, because we've had the rebuttal for the last since 9/11.
Bob, thank you. Thank you very much for that comment. We'll take it under advisement. Let's take another call. Vladislav is calling from Rockville, Maryland. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Okay, I have this thought which I want to offer to the critics of the report to discuss. And the thought is, okay, even if you criticize that the report may not be exactly correct, but it's obvious that administration information about the connection of Saddam Hussein to terrorists and to weapons of mass destruction was not also 100% bulletproof. So how you can justify administration desire to go to war based on the faulty information if go to war is not a simple matter? You criticize the issue of the report, but you still kind of support decision of the Bush to go to war based on, let's say, incomplete information. How you can explain that?
Patrick Claussen, you want to talk to that?
One has to act in life on the basis of incomplete information. One doesn't have a full information at any moment in time when you have to make important decisions. The nature of the intelligence business is constantly trying to peer through the dark and make out shadowy forms. One of the things which is so unfortunate about the Senate Intelligence Committee report is that it implies that we can have absolute confidence about our intelligence.
Yes, you've said that.
Matters.
You've said that before.
That's so disingenuous, that comment. We've never gone to war before based on something as flimsy as what we went to war on this time. This is not something that's a precedent.
The Spanish-American War,
let's get serious here. We went to war based on comments that were made that had no basis in reality whatsoever, as this report says. We went to war based on fraudulent information that came. The one section of this report we haven't even talked about yet is the INC, Ahmed Chalabi's role. They have a whole section, actually one whole chapter of this report, just deals with the INC and Chalabi. And Chalabi, as the report says, came up with all these defectors. totally fraudulent information that came from them. And that information was used by the Pentagon. It was rejected largely by the CIA, which earlier had branded Chalabi a fraudster, a fabricator. The Pentagon pushed this information, even though virtually everybody knew this information was phony. It was coming from somebody who'd been branded a fraudster, and that's what we went to war on. Now, at the time we went to war, we had inspectors over there that were actually looking for these things. If we had left the inspectors over there, which is what we should have done.
Of course, they wouldn't have found an al-Qaeda connection, but your point is well taken about the weapons of mass destruction. By the way, that statement we began the segment with from Condoleezza Rice about the training that al-Qaeda, that Iraq was allegedly giving al-Qaeda in chemical weapons development, the source of that, the report says, was this man El-Libi, who was beaten, or so he says, until basically he said, yes, they were training them in and he didn't go to biological because he didn't know what they were. So he said, they're training them in chemical weapons. And once he said that, his interrogators, who I guess were from the CIA, relented. So he got the message. They wanted to hear something. He didn't know anything about biological, so he made up chemical. And that was the basis of Condoleezza Rice's comment there. Paul is calling from Boston, Mass.
Hello.
Yes, hi, welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. I want to just bring up a different kind of point of view. I don't think most people believe there's a technical, like literal connection, as if, you know, Saddam was sitting in the planning room at, you know, above the, you know, flying planes into the towers. I think most people, you know, feel a common sense connection. And I think if you look at the Middle East historically, it's easy to see, you know, particularly nations working together as, you know, allies and being adversarial at the same time. If you look at, like, Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, and how they all fought against each other and with each other against Israel. Historically, it's very common sense to see that kind of connection. I think that's what most people's instinct is, that there is, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend connection with Saddam and al-Qaeda. And just, you know, to see Zarqawi operating in Baghdad, I mean, people feel this in their hearts. And to turn it into a lawyer's kind of language argument about no connection to 9/11 and making that broad statement, I think, you know, holds true in a micro, but not a macro.
Well, but of course, what do you say to the fact that Saddam was a secular ruler, al-Qaeda is a fundamentalist organization, and according to what we know, he distrusted them, he wanted nothing to do with them.
But at the same time, they're going to work together and against each other, and that's just historical pattern.
I see what you're saying.
But there was no evidence of that. There's no evidence whatsoever of that. It was completely the opposite.
Ansar al-Islam. There is evidence that Saddam did cooperate with a group which Zarqawi may have been active in. We don't know.
There's no evidence that he cooperated with that group. He was an enemy of the group. He was trying to destroy the group.
There's evidence that he was, in fact, paying that group.
Again, you're wrong, and you're
sorry, but look, these things are not as straightforward, where Zarqawi comes forward and tells us everything about all of his activities, and we know everything about him. We have not a clue where Bin Laden is at the moment. We don't know some things that are extremely important that you may think that, we must have an idea. No, we don't. Things are unclear. And we ought to say that we're not sure. We don't know. It's uncertain. There is no clear evidence.
I wish people like Mr. Clausen were on the front lines going over there fighting because they believe so much in this. Unfortunately, it's the people who bought the lies who are going over there and dying. That's the biggest tragedy here.
There's no indications in this report of lies. There's lots of indications.
There's every indication of lies. It says right here that the INC was lying.
But that's not because they're lying. It's because they got things wrong. Not every time that I have told something which turned out to be wrong is because I was lying.
I suggest you go back and read the report, because that's exactly what it says, is that the INC was lying.
The INC was
not
lying.
Everything was a lie.
But
what they're saying is that there was intelligence.
But Pat,
different intelligence judgment.
But Patrick, what we do see here, and you'll admit this, it seems to me, is a really disheartening connection between what the intelligence people were saying at a given date and what our administration officials were saying. There's a gap between them, is there not?
Exactly the same gap that's in the Senate Intelligence Committee report between what it's saying and what the intelligence community was saying. They cherry pick the evidence to show the conclusion they want.
Gentlemen, I've got to stop. Thank you so much. James Bamford, thank you for joining us this hour. Patrick Clausen, Deputy Director for Research at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, thank you. I'm Jack Beatty, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.